Surgery, PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, all in attendance on this Saturday morning. Also joined in studio by Emporia High basketball coaches Carolyn Dorsey and Lee Baldwin, who are back in Emporia after going to the dungeon and escaping with victories last night as they pick up wins over Topeka High. Emporia High girls, 8-0, Coach Dorsey. Congratulations.
Yeah, we'll take it. I'd say it's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I
don't know if he can do much better.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, I'm sure I could find something if you wanted me to. but yeah, man, they after last night, what a cool feeling. I woke up pretty with a smile, I think, on plastered on my face all night.
And congratulations to Coach Baldwin. His team, after trailing early, finds a way to get the job done and ends up winning by double digits. Congratulations on the win last night, Coach.
Thank you. It was nice to see our guys get off to a poor start, but able to rebound from being down 8 in the second quarter and being able to fight through that.
Well, let's start with Carolyn Dorsey. Her team played first last night in a matchup of two ranked teams. Your team ranked number 3 in 5A. Topeka High ranked number 6 in 6A. And Topeka High has always got some quality athletes, a very good team. And your basketball team just kind of took it to them last night.
We did. And that's kind of, you know, you talk about going to the dungeon. That's a tough place to play. It's been a long time, but man, we took it from them last night, and that's a good feeling. You know, I told the girls going into it, there wasn't anybody probably that thought we'd win. We know that. We're not complete fools out there, but that was the pressure. That was the glory of it. I said, girls, for the first time you're an underdog, well, I guess it doesn't matter. Go out there, have fun, play hard, and, man, shock the state. And I think that's exactly what they did from the tip, and it was a great thing to be a part of, and watching their faces and listening to the bench and just that's how we've wanted them to play. That's why we've been pretty disappointed in them is we've played enough to get by. And that's – I told you that drives me insane. And last night, man, they kicked their tail across the board at every single position. And I'm including bench players in that.
15-3 to start. That had to feel really good. And you were hitting from the perimeter too.
Well, and I think – yeah, I think I looked up at one point. I was like, holy – you know what? That's is that right? Like, we're balling out. We got up 20 at one point. And, yeah. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't hang on to that. But we talk about being ready to go. And with our girls, again, people probably think we're a little crazy, but we demand excellence. Our motto is relentlessly pursue excellence, which is an insane, impossible task, but we're going to strive for it. And from the tip, you know, we've been on their butts about their body stance at the tip. They stand too lax. They stand laissez-faire. And they're probably like, what in the world does she want us to do? Last night, man, tip, boom, AJ basket. That I think that set the tone. Like, holy. You know, I think Topeka High got on their heels and was like, they're ready to go. And I think that mattered. And all of a sudden that basket gets bigger because you got some confidence going on.
When Alexa Shively got that layup, it kind of reminded me of the Hayden game back in December because you guys set the tone early. And I don't know. I just had a good feeling. Then when you guys got it 15-3, I'm like, is this really happening?
Well, you know, like we like to shock people from time to time. It's the shock factor for us. But, you know, AJ, the tip was that we work on that. That is something in practice that we have spent time on. Those are things people not around the game of basketball don't understand. You can't take those little things for granted. And we've worked the tip. We've practiced it. We have 3 different looks off the tip. We've been trying to find what works for our girls. And, you know, call it a fluke, I don't know, but it worked last night. So whatever we've changed and whatever they've done, you know, they're figuring it out. And again, I think that, you know, you talk about AJ, what a great game for her. Man, part of it was she didn't foul, so she was out there playing versus sitting on the bench a lot. And again, I'm just so happy with their collective effort last night. For once, I can stand behind them and say they were tough. And that's something for, you know, where I can tip my hat to them a little bit because I haven't seen it from them all the time collectively for 32, and last night they were exactly that for 32 minutes.
AJ didn't even foul once last night.
Well, I'm sure she did. She probably just didn't get called.
That's money. The key, right?
That's the key, is don't to get away with it on the low. You got to be a little sneakier. She's pretty obvious about it most of the time.
Well, we've talked about really the offense, but your defense last night, you had to be super pleased with.
Greg, that is something we've been waiting for them to identify with. You know, they, again, I said this earlier in the year, my son is a pretty good athlete, but he is so laissez-faire with life, and it drives me insane. And he's only 8, but maybe by 9 he'll be a little bit better. But that's kind of how they are. And they are, man, they're like water on the ducks. It just rolls off their back. They're like, oh, coach is screaming at me. She's got me running down the sideline, whatever. I really think that they're probably just like, not a big deal, you know. And then we have really refocused them. And I think Wednesday and Thursday they came in, they knew, they understood, and I think it's clicking. I told you earlier they're young, and I don't think they fully understand what you have to do to win in this league. And again, whether it was a fluke or not, I think we took huge steps in the right direction. And defensively, we were so tough. We held Topeka High probably to the least amount of points they've had all season. Held Kiki, the best player, one of the best players in the state, to 13. Lexi was phenomenal on her. And Zeta Pearson went in and guarded her and frustrated her. The girl was frustrated. And I've told them 100 times, I've told Kermer, you can't play the game angry. And Kiki was mad last night. And, man, they did it defensively as a whole. I mean, they just were so darn good defensively. I couldn't have asked for a better performance defensively.
Well, it was nice to kind of exercise some demons there about the last 5 or 6 years. You know, you really need to get to go through teams like Topeka High and Washburn Rural if you want to contend. And so there's one at least you can check off, at least on the road.
Yeah, it has been. You know, I think that's what I mean is we used to go to the Dungeon and win quite a bit. You know, I think that's it's been a long time. I think Dylan informed me it was 2016. But make no mistake, it was a long time where we go up there and that was a given. And they've changed it and, you know, transferring, you know, that always helps and things like that. But you know, to get that from them, to take that from them, to say this isn't, we are back, and this might not be a given for you. And I think they have probably overlooked us, would be my guess, because they've always beaten us for a long time. That group doesn't know any different. And our girls flat out said last night, not tonight, and that's a cool feeling to be a part of.
Well, you know, we saw Lexi DeWitt, you know, lock down on Kiki Smith, and, of course, she was able to score the basketball last night. But it was finally great to see Emil Bennett do what she did last night. Career high 13 points, including 4 threes, and several of those were
big ones.
Were big ones early.
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about Lexi again. Her performance last night was, I mean, I just was enjoying the ride. I just kind of sat down for a little bit and just watched. I mean, she flat out said, "This is my game," and that is so cool to see from kids. Like, that girl's a beast. And Lexi kind of was like, "Who?" You know, just does the typical winks at me. Like, I'm like, "Lexi, you got her." She just turns and winks at me. I'm like, stop winking at me. She winks like crazy. But that's her confidence, and that's who she's exuding, man. If she plays like that, she can wink all day. But, you know, Bennett, man, she had a good night. She's played pretty well all season. I thought her decision-making has been pretty good so far. You know, she's had some bad turnovers at times where I'm like, "Ugh." That looks bad, but honestly, she's averaging double assists to turnover. Her turnover ratio is good, assists to turnovers. She's understood that scoring isn't really what she is at that position currently. And last night, you know, she practiced well all week. She hit some shots in practice where I was like, "Huh." And then she'd kind of look at me and kind of shrug her shoulders and run down the court. And it was just a carryover, I think. She stepped up. She hit some big shots for us. Man, but I thought Kermer's another one. She didn't score as much as she does. I think she had 10 or 11.
Yeah.
But what a good game she played. And that's something I need her to understand is I know she wants to score because that's how she thinks she can help us. But scoring 10 in a game like that where she facilitated, she had us under control, she guarded really well. And that's something we've been challenging her with. She went right. I think her first basket was to the right, and we jumped her on Wednesday and Thursday and said, if you want to be an average player, you'll never go right. Because that's her – everybody, if you scout Kermer, she goes left. Mm-hmm. Man, last night she went right. I think she went right a couple times, and that's what I mean is she's going to come along too. I'm pretty happy with them. And our bench was phenomenal. The energy and, you know, whether they went in for a minute or two, man, they were ready. And it was a great unselfish win for our program. So it's a staple win for us.
Well, it was the second of two wins for the week as you also picked up another victory over Topeka Hayden at home. And you get to face them one more time at their place. But, Topeka Hayden, anytime you can knock off Hayden, it's a nice win.
It is. And we told them that on Tuesday. You know, again, I think early when we got the 28-point win on them, you know, unfortunately, people are like, oh, they're not very good. You know, it's just such an automatic response from people. And I just, again, I told him, I said, no, they're going to give us a game. I think you guys don't know Hayden. It's going to be ugly. And the girls won. They won by 9, 11, or 8, or 9, something like that, whatever it was. But we didn't play well. We played terrible, in my opinion. And you still win by 8 or 9. You know, we should have won by 20, would be my guess, if we play remotely the way we played last night or the way we should have played. And that's what we were upset about. And again, our practices Wednesday and Thursday were back to the book, and it was simple. You know, I said, these girls, we've got to find a way to make them understand how serious we are about, you're going to do it this way. And it was. They're kind of like toddlers. You need that immediate feedback. You know, they took a bad shot, run. Did you block out? No, run. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, man, they're serious. We worked on safeties back. We said we need two safeties back last night because they're Kiki and them are so good in transition. We talk about it. I said, do you understand? They go to practice. First shot of the scrimmage, we don't have a safety back. And I looked at them and said, we're supposed to have two. They looked at me and said, run. You know, and I don't know. Like I said, they're coming along. They're young. They're young, and they're going to keep getting stronger, and that's what we expect from them. And then again, unfortunately, we're still missing we still got two kids out. We have another kid who's semi out, but we're getting her some minutes, trying to get her feet back and get her body back. We had another one go down last night. And that being said, they're still 8-0 and just knocked off the number 6 team in the state. So it should only get better within the next year and a half.
Well, Coach, I want to bring up, you know, your guys' crowd last night.
Yeah.
For that girls' game, with it being two teams ranked in the state, I felt like the crowd behind me and Darian Harris in the Dungeon was pretty electric.
It was a great crowd. You know, the Dungeon can be fun if you're playing well. It's like, I just usually am not on the receiving end of that lately. But it was a good crowd. Our crowd, I don't hear a lot of things. I hear a couple crazy statements every once in a while, you know, from the stands. I think after sitting there for the boys game, I've pinpointed where they where they come from. I told them I had to move. I said, I'm getting uncomfortable. It's hostile territory over here. Or it's mob mentality. I had to move a little bit, but they were great. And that's exciting. You know, I think something, you know, addressing the crowd, I think something is to be said. I think for a long time, women and women's basketball specifically, the crowd doesn't show up for. And it's girls. And to me, that's pretty insulting considering the rich history of women's basketball that I've participated in. But, you know, it is what it is. I told the girls, keep playing hard, keep winning. You'll start putting fans in the stands because, unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. The boys always attract more people than the girls. And man, it was a good crowd, though, and I think that was cool. It felt very unified, which is nice to feel. And like I said, that's a fun – again, it's a lot easier to have a fun time when you're playing well.
Now, there's a reason why I keep trying to promote. You guys need – everyone who tunes in need to get out to a game. There's two opportunities next week, and it's only the – those two doubleheaders next week, those are the only two times that you – and the boys play together until February 10th. So, wow. I mean, grand opportunity coming up next week for fans to check you guys out.
Well, and when both teams are playing well, you know, I think that's something to be said, that they're both, again, it should be unified. It shouldn't be boys versus girls. And that's what, you know, that's a frustrating feeling for a long time. And I know we walked by the boys team last night, and a couple of them, and I don't know a lot of them still, but they said, you know, good job, good game, coach, and that's cool. You know, like, and I looked at them, I said, good luck to you boys. Because we've had classes that have come through that do that. You know, we've had classes that are 100% supportive of our girls and vice versa, and we've had classes that aren't. And this group seems to be, like I said, level-headed and rational, and I appreciate that coming from the boys' team. I think that's a mutual sign of respect, and instead of fighting for the glory light, we're both going, let's go do this tonight. You know, let's win at both varsity levels, and that's exciting.
Well, you have Paola coming up on Tuesday. What do you know about Paola?
They're coached by an ex-Lady Hornet, so for me, we got to win.
who's the coach there now?
Jamie Augustine.
Okay.
Oh!
Yeah,
okay.
I know. So that's going to be an ego check for me. so we will not. I can't.
No holds barred.
I was like, those words will taste like vinegar coming out. I was like, so, you know, they're in the Frontier League. You know, it's a tough league. She's obviously intelligent and comes from a good background of basketball, being from Burlington and ESU. And I don't want to lose to her. That's about it. That's the extent of my knowledge right now.
And then Junction City will be in on Friday,
mm-hmm.
For a Centennial League showdown. And Junction City last night losing to Manhattan. But,
yeah, they're improved.
I know they're struggling a little bit this year, but, a lot of it, as you mentioned, an improved basketball team. And you get into high school basketball and you can't take anybody lightly.
Oh, good God, no! Especially not us. We are. I'm telling you, I don't know how we're doing it. Because I still am like, oh man, you know. And again, it cracks me up because every game someone says, oh man, we'd take that girl. Well, I'd say we take ours because we're 8-0. So we might take that girl, but they still lost, just for the record. And so we're getting it done. But yeah, Junction City's improved, and we can't get to 9. Well, this is what we told the girls: you cannot be 8-0 until you're 7. Can't be 9-0 until you're 8, and you can't get to 10-0 until you win number 9. So we got to get one at a time right now, and then look back and go, how'd we do that? That's kind of my perspective right now.
So do you have an answer to it, how you've done it so far?
With them, no. Like I said, they are resilient. They are coming along. But, man, they're held accountable. You know, we expect better and bigger. And, you know, when you win a game like that, and you get back to your phone and you get texts from – you know, specific players from last year and stuff, they know. And that was cool. That was good to see. A couple of them reached out, and parents reached out that from our system. And like I said, that's the culture that you enjoy being a part of.
Paola will come in 2-6. They lost 61-29 to Bonner Springs last night.
Well,
there you go. A little more information.
Yeah,
there
you
go.
I still know where to find stuff.
You know, my anxiety's still kicking in. I still don't feel good.
I know you'll be nervous, especially going against Jamie Augustine.
I just don't want to lose to a Lady Hornet.
Again, the Lady Spartans last night victorious over Topeka High, 51-40, improving their season record to 8-0. They're 2-0 in Centennial League play. Again, they'll be at home on Tuesday against Paola, and then Friday they'll be at home against Junction City. Again, great start to the season, Coach.
Yes, sir. We'll take it. Thank you.
That's Emporia High girls basketball. Coach Carolyn Doisy joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take a break, and we'll be back to visit with Emporia High boys basketball coach Lee Baldwin right after this timeout.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The 2022 Bowerman Award winners have been announced. The honor is given each year to the most outstanding male and female track and field athletes. On the men's side, Trey Cunningham from Florida State is this year's recipient. Back in March, Cunningham won his first individual title in the 2022 indoor 60-meter hurdle with a time of 7.38 seconds. That's the second fastest time in NCAA history. 3 months later, he capped off his collegiate career with a championship in the outdoor 110-meter hurdle. Abby Steiner from Kentucky is the winner on the women's side, becoming the first athlete from her school to earn the honor. Steiner won the individual 200-meter championship in both the indoor and outdoor competitions in 2022. Steiner's time of the outdoor championship gave her the NCAA record and eighth fastest time in U.S. history. She also helped Kentucky finish first in the 4x400-meter relay. Coming up, we'll check in on the men's D1 basketball season on This Week in the NCAA.
It's game day at Jim's house, and the spread is impressive.
Mike's already done some damage with the hot wings, and now he's dropping back and going deep for another slice of pizza.
I sure hope he brought the Pepto.
Mike knows the Pepto-Bismol provides fast, five-symptom relief from unexpected stomach upsets. He's no rookie.
The way he's throwing back those nachos, he's the GOAT.
Be ready for game day with Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
The last two undefeated teams in men's D1 basketball fell this week. Other than the 2017-18 season, this is the earliest mark in the last 45 years that every team in D1 has lost a game. On Monday night, number one Purdue was beaten at home by Rutgers 65-64. It's the second straight season the Scarlet Knights upset a top-ranked Boilermakers team. On Tuesday night, number 21 New Mexico suffered their first loss of the season on the road at Fresno State. The Lobos started 14-0 for the first time since 1955. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood all in the house on this Saturday morning. Also being joined by Emporia High boys basketball coach Lee Baldwin, whose team picked up a 69-59 victory over the Topeka High Trojans in a back-and-forth contest, and fortunately, you were on the upside at the end of the game. Congratulations, Coach. Nice win for your guys.
Thank you very much. It was fun to be a part of. I'd never played in that gym before, so it was a fantastic environment. Had a really good crowd. It was good to get out of there with a win.
Yeah, Coach and I were talking before we went on the air just about going to that facility, and it was your first trip there, and it's quite the building. Neat place to go.
Yes, if they hadn't been in such a hurry to kick us out of there, I was wanting to walk around and just look at the place. But, man, that was awesome.
Yeah, a lot of history in that facility going back to way back when.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been around forever, obviously.
Well, your guys last night, what was the difference for your guys?
You know, midway through the second quarter, we were down by eight, and River Peters hit a big three to get us down five and called a timeout, and we had not been as aggressive in our zone, and I said, we're getting up. We're going to get up and, you know, speed them up, and we went on a 20-4 run relatively quickly and got the lead going into halftime, and nobody was panicked. You know, we were just steady. Played well in the third quarter, got up by 13, and then unfortunately we did what you usually do when we get a big lead, and within a minute and a half it evaporates. So, you know, midway through the fourth quarter we just had to gut one out, and fortunately we got enough stops and hit one or two free throws. Not too many we made, but we made enough just to win.
Yes, you guys were 6-for-6 at halftime. Finished the game 16 of 29, 10 of 23 in the second half.
Yeah, Topeka's High free throw defense was really good last night.
And you emptied in, and you cleared the lane too with your guys' as players, and they just kept it. They just kept in the lane. I just want to mention this just in case anyone didn't hear last night's post game interview. Coach Baldwin was coming over because we're elevated. We're up in the stands above the floor. So Coach Baldwin decides, all right, I'm going to stay down there. I'm going to get on a chair. I'm going to stand on the chair. So he did the post game interview on a chair on the floor at the dungeon. And that's a that's a first way to win a ball game there too, and do a post game interview like that.
Well, that's just commitment, is what that tells me. Right there. You know, if there's people walking by taking pictures, you know, that's just commitment to fulfilling your obligation to do the radio afterwards.
I thought I heard somebody in the background say, "Get off that chair."
Yeah, there probably was. I saw some people taking pictures, and I was like, "This is going on social media. I'm going to look like a fool."
Besides River Peters, 23 points offensively, Jalen King adds 14. Sounded like Cooper Reck had a pretty good game for you.
Cooper did a really good job in the second half of getting some deflections, some live ball turnovers. And when you're playing at the top of the 1-3-1, if you can get a deflection or a back tap, it's going to go to our middle guy, and they can throw it ahead to you, and that's why he got two dunks in the third quarter. So he's got the capabilities to be really good at the top of that zone. And when if he continues to improve, I think he'll have the opportunity to get more runouts and get some dunks and get our crowd involved.
Your zone defense, has it taken a while for these guys to buy into what exactly they need to do and what it takes to make this zone defense successful?
I mean, we're still learning with it. The last couple games, we've really struggled guarding a three-point line. We played some athletic guards that have been able to split us and kick out for threes. And the last two games, teams have shot it really well against us from the three-point line. Last night, one of their kids hit six threes, and the two films I'd watched, he hadn't hit any. So it's just one of those things where, defensively, we got to keep making adjustments to who we're playing. We're going to start playing some guards that are very quick, and we've got to be able to keep them in front of us. If they're splitting our double teams, they're going to kick to the corner for a three. And, the way teams have been shooting at the last couple of games against us, it feels like every three somebody takes is going in. I also told our guys we went man for one possession against Hayden, and it took them between 2 and 3 seconds to score. we've got to continue to work defensively to – we're never going to be a really good defensive team just based off our lack of size. But hopefully we can get to the point where we're above average. And I think if we're above average defensively with the firepower we have on offense, I think that'll take care of itself.
Well, and the impressive thing with this team, they were young last year, took their lumps. But, boy, it sure seems like that they're now learning how to win games.
Yeah, I think you made a great point there, Tim. Topeka High's record is, nothing to write home about. But for these guys that have never experienced team success at the high school level, winning on the road, especially when you're down 8 or you're up 13 and they come back on you, and have the opportunity to pull away and win by double digits, I think that says a lot about our guys learning how to win. Just because you bring guys back and you're expected to be better, that doesn't mean you just know how to win, because all they've done is lose. So, to me, that's a really special sign for our guys that they're finding ways to win. And I think when you find ways to win, that means you're expecting to win. And that when you can get that changed, then, you're going to win.
Well, and you mentioned winning on the road, and particularly, and again, getting back to the fact Topeka High's record may not be glossy, but usually that environment makes it very difficult to go get a win there.
Sure. Well, I mean, when we watched them on film, when they played Bonner Springs, they scored 78 points. And I said, when you're playing a team that scores that many points and has done it multiple times this year, I mean, they played Valley Center and lost in overtime and scored 79. So right, wrong, or indifferent, they've got the firepower to go off. And they have no conscience from the three-point line. I mean, they hit a couple threes last night where I turned to our bench and was like, if you guys had shot that, I would have been livid. when you play a team that doesn't really have any fear of shooting, you're going to shoot well. And they hit 12 threes last night. And if you'd told me that they were going to hit 12 before the game, I would have been, I don't know if we're going to get out of here and win this one. So, credit to them. They shot it really well.
I brought up Fred Jackson in post game, and he's made back-to-back starts. And, he had 7 and 10 last night. And there was a time in the third quarter, he grabbed a rebound, he was on the floor fighting for that basketball, and it still came loose. He still was able to come out of it, and then he passed it off to Sheldon Stewart and get it back out to reset the offense. Just the toughness of Fred Jackson and what he brings to this team, what does that mean?
I think Fred is the epitome of why high school sports are special. And for any younger kid that comes and watches us play that may not have the highest skill level or skill set, watching a guy like Fred, I would think, would give kids hope that I can find a niche and be good at a sport in different ways. Fred cannot dribble, and Fred cannot shoot. But we don't win games without him on the floor, and that's just a fact. He is as tough as they come. He is as competitive as they come, and he hates to lose. And ideally, in the middle of a 1-3-1, you want 6'5", 6'6", and we've got 6 foot. And to have that many rebounds at that position, at that size, and diving on the floor for loose balls, it's really special. And I get emotional talking about him because he didn't even play last year. For us to be 7-1 and starting a guy in the middle of our 1-3-1 that's 6 foot that didn't play last year, you just don't see that at all. And I think he could give a lot of hope to some kids that don't necessarily have the highest skill set, but if they care, they're competitive, and they just want to get all over the floor and just be a good teammate, he is the epitome of that.
Well, a true testament, because typically dribbling and shooting are a couple of key components to basketball.
Yeah, I would say if you're wanting to be a good basketball player, dribbling and shooting are probably the two most important. He caught the ball against Hayden on the block in the fourth quarter, and our guys were laughing afterwards because he caught the ball, and the Auden kid kind of bodied him up, and you could hear me yell, no, 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 do not shoot it, do not dribble it. And the guys were laughing afterwards. So, but, you know, tongue-in-cheek, we have to have him on the floor. Like, if he's not on the floor, we don't play as well. And it's just a testament to his tenacity and his toughness and his just wanting to play. Like, he just loves playing. And we're thankful to have him. And to me, it's really special to have a guy that is that impactful that did not even play basketball last year. You just don't see that very often at all.
Well, you also picked up a victory over Topeka Hayden earlier in the week. Twice you've defeated Topeka Hayden, and your ball club has to feel like they've got their number.
Well, we've been able to – I actually thought we played better the second time we played them than the first time. We had a lead throughout most of the game, and as usual, in the third quarter, teams start making their run on us, and we did a good job of withstanding their run. But I thought we, the majority of that game, got them at our pace. And, you know, we're able to make some shots. Obviously, Jalen getting off to a good start help. But I thought that game was more about us playing well versus them not, versus the first go-around where we won it at the end.
Well, Paola up next. Well, I guess I'll ask you the same question. You know much about your opponent coming up?
Yeah, I've watched a couple films on them. You know, they haven't had the record that they, I'm sure, would wish they have. They're playing better. They've played four close games. They've struggled to score it. So, you know, we're going to – I hate to beat a dead horse here, but we're going to try to turn it into a track meet and, you know, speed them up and, you know, get a lot of shots up and, you know, hopefully get a bunch of live ball turnovers. So hopefully with them only having one day to prepare for our defense will give us an advantage for Tuesday.
They lost last night 68-58. Common opponents. They played Spring Hill. They played Spring Hill on Tuesday, lost by 13, 45-32. And they also lost to Ottawa by 4 points. And so you got some common opponents with them.
Yeah, really the only thing I need to do to get our guys motivated, or, you know, if you think you're going to take somebody lightly or take them for granted, I'll just, you know, turn on the Great Ben film or show them the box score from that one, and I think that'll do just fine in terms of motivation.
Then you have Junction City coming in on Friday, and Junction City gets a nice win last night defeating Manhattan.
Junction City is very good. That game will be two up-tempo styles. They're going to press on a make or miss, which we do the same thing. They're going to try to get a shot up in the first 5 to 8 seconds, so if you're at that game, you won't have a hard time not being entertained because it's going to be played fast and the shots are going to be up quickly.
Now, your team, though, 7-1 right now, 2-0 in Centennial League play, you have to be ecstatic.
There was some guys last night in the locker room, they gave each other a hug and they were saying, man, I can't believe it. We've won seven games. And, you know, I'm just really happy for our guys because when you haven't won like that, it's just – to change the culture and change a program to do it live and quickly like that with wins is really special to see our guys do that. And I think their confidence is continuing to grow based regardless of who we're playing and how we're winning. And when you're learning how to win, any win is big. So really happy for our guys to do that. And hopefully we can continue that because our schedule after Tuesday is going to get significantly more challenging to where you can't look on the schedule and say, oh, well, that's a win. That's a win.
So have you have they sent you anything on the Ralph Miller Classic yet on who you get to play the first round and possible second round opponents?
No, they're going to make the bracket after next Friday's game. I know Bishop Miege lost last night, which very rarely ever happens. So right now I think we're in the mix somewhere to get somewhere between a 1 and a 4 seed, which, you know, I think down there at that tournament, seed is not going to be a real big factor. There's going to be a lot of quality teams down there. So it's going to be a really tough tournament. And I think any team down there, their goal is to get 2 wins. And hopefully we can go into that tournament playing our best basketball because we're going to need to.
Yeah, some of the other teams that I've done my homework to. Campus out of Hayesville, out of Arc Valley, Chisholm Trail 1. Andover Central's in there too, so they're good. And there's Coffeyville, Chanute's good. Carteridge, Missouri, and then Parkview, Missouri, out of Springfield, Missouri, also going to be there. And then there was one more. We can save that for another day, but
don't forget Miege. They're kind of
Miege.
They're okay.
They're okay. their tradition's been okay.
That sounds like that's going to be a real challenging Ralph Miller Classic. Ralph Miller would be proud of that one.
Yes, he would. And you know, I'm excited to go down there and play some different teams. I like playing different teams, regardless if they're high caliber. And I just like playing different teams and different styles. You play that many different styles, it gets you more prepared for sub-state. So, we're going to play a different style from Junction City. You don't see a lot of teams press off of a missed shot. So in the next couple weeks, we're going to see a bevy of different styles.
And certainly not to discount Paola, but I think Junction City will be a good barometer for you guys, I would think.
Sure. They don't have a lot of size, but they're extremely athletic. And they're going to attack the basket. And obviously they're going to have an athletic advantage over us, so we're going to have to make sure that we do a really good job of staying in a stance defensively and not letting them get to the paint and, you know, split us and kick for threes because that's what they're going to try to do.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the victories. Keep it up. Good
Thank
luck on
much.
Tuesday against Paola and against Junction City on Friday night, and we'll talk to you about those wins on Saturday morning.
I hope you're right. Thanks for having me in this morning.
That's Emporia High Boys Basketball Coach Lee Baldwin joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongpineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Not all mortgages are created equal. The local mortgage team at Emporia State Federal Credit Union can guide you from pre-approval to choosing the perfect loan product and completing the application, ultimately getting you into your home on time. When it's time to choose a lender for your home, go with the local mortgage leader who puts members first, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Visit esfcu.com today to connect with our lenders. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA.
NMLS number 424236.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk, driven by LongmontAuto.com. Greg Ray, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, and now joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. Good morning, Mitch, from Las Vegas, where the lights never go off.
Good morning, Greg and Tim and Dylan from Las Vegas. Yeah, it's here we are.
Final game of the regular season, and a lot still on the line for the Chiefs.
Wow. A lot's been on the line. It's been a lot going on this week, and really interesting week, of course, with the DeMar Hamlin situation. It kind of pushed everything back a day from one end, and then from the other end to get this game reverse flexed, to move it from what was going to be Sunday to Saturday. So this has been kind of coming from both ends a little bit to truncate this game, and there's a lot on the line here, boys. We all know that. So just a lot of energy, a lot of drama here.
Mitch, your opinion on what the NFL came up with for how they will ultimately set up the postseason?
Yeah, loaded question. The question to me is, is there a rule in place? And I think there is. I don't have the rule in front of me, but it could be explored that in situations where there's a no contest or a game that would be just skipped, then it goes on winning percentage. So what the league decided basically follows the rule. Where it did not maybe follow a rule, they made an exception here, is the fact that this whole neutral site game, and I don't want to be callous or insensitive to the Bills or DeMar Hamlin, but there was a rule in place that, I don't know, I think there might have been, that anyway, they said, we're going to suspend that rule for this year anyway and do this. So, what's my opinion? It's such a difficult one. A difficult decision, Tim. There's no great decision. There's no perfect one. There's no one that's going to not be. There's every decision they're going to make is going to be open to criticism, and you got to be sensitive. But I'm still kind of trying to figure it out. A bit perplexed. And the question is, was there a rule in place? If there's a rule, you say there's a rule. And I know it seems insensitive, but there's the rule. But here we are, and if the Chiefs just have to win today, they've got to take care of their business and try to get the one seed in the bye. And then if it is Buffalo, where's that neutral site game going to be? I mean, Indianapolis said they're not going to take it, which is really interesting. So, you know, the rest of it's conjecture really till next Saturday probably. But honestly, it's been wild. It's been a wild last 48 hours or so, actually the whole week.
Well, the thing that's been the consistent, though, for the Kansas City Chiefs is the fact is you're playing the Raiders and you need to win this game.
Yep, that's it. You got a flow chart here of a whole bunch of stuff that we could talk about the rest of the morning, but that's at the top of the flow chart. Win, just win. I'll give you the spoiler alert here in a couple hours on your air that I'm going to put a picture up on Twitter of Marty Schottenheimer and Al Davis, because I'm going to use both of their mantras. With Marty, it was focus and finish, and with Al, it was just win, baby. And that's where the Chiefs have to be here. And this is not going to be an easy game, Greg. I think the Chiefs are walking into a hornet's nest, and the Chiefs are dealing with some injuries. I mean, look, they got to be ready to go. If Butker's not able to go, they put Matthew Wright on the active roster again and claim him off Pittsburgh's practice squad.
Mitch, you know they've been winning games, which is all that's the bottom line. You go win games. But do you have any concerns at all with the way this team's played the last few weeks?
Well, the turnover margin is something we've talked about since Columbus Day, actually since the beginning of the year, really. And for a team to be 13-3 and minus 5 does not add up to football physics. I don't care if you're talking about the Hornets or the Northern Heights Wildcats here. It just doesn't add up, and yet the Chiefs have been able to kind of power through it. Now, the other side of that, though, Tim, is you're minus 5 and you're 13-3, which tells you that you must be pretty strong. You're not going to winning to cover the spread or winning to get style points doesn't matter. It's just back to the whole win. But to me, the biggest issue would be the turnover margin. That, and today especially, is not giving up the huge chunk passing play, either by completion or by penalty, because that's the Raiders have that capability, and I think they're even better suited to do it with Jarrett Stidham than they were with Derek Carr.
That was going to be my question. How does Jarrett Stidham change the Raiders? Does he make them better, or what challenges does he offer that maybe Derek Carr didn't?
Let's just go through the Jarrett Stidham story here, you know, and doing the deep dive into Jarrett was let's take you all the way back. He was from Stephenville, Texas. He's at Texas Tech, right? Guess he's at Texas Tech when he's there. So he transfers. He goes to Baylor. In fact, his first start was against K-State, and he was really good. But then he goes to Auburn with his grad transfer year. And goes to Auburn. So he kind of moves around. But one person gets enamored with him while he's at Auburn, and it's Josh McDaniels, who's the offensive coordinator for Bill Belichick in New England. So they draft him. And McDaniels stood on the table for him to play his rookie year. But the Patriots, maybe Belichick did this, they go get Cam Newton. Remember this? This is the COVID year. So take the Chiefs game that year. Cam Newton's supposed to play. He gets COVID. They start Hoyer in the game, Brian Hoyer. He's terrible. So they bring in Stidham, who plays really good, throws a touchdown pass. He had two interceptions, but one of those was a drop by Edelman that just handed the ball to Tyrann Mathieu. I went back and watched those 25 snaps this week. So then he gets hurt, Stidham does, in 21. He can't go or press for the starting job. He gets hurt. He's got a back problem. He gets hurt. So then let's go to 22. McDaniels gets the Raiders job. What's one of the first things he does? He trades for Jarrett Stidham. I think this has been in the works all along for Josh McDaniels, either as a plan A, hey, I'm going to get him in there eventually, or plan B, if Carr doesn't work out, and that's where we're at. And then Stidham comes in last week and lights it up. He throws for 365 yards, the best first ever start by a Raider quarterback ever against the number one rated defense in the NFL. And he tears him up, 9 20-plus pass plays. And he gets 3 to Davante Adams. He gets 2 to Darren Waller. He gets 2 to Justin Moreau. He gets 1 to Hollins. And he's firing away. And he runs the ball. What does he do? I think in many ways he's better. He just doesn't have the experience the Carr's got. But the ball gets out faster. It's the quicker release. He's kind of in a Brady mode is the way he's kind of trained and been trained. So I think the Chiefs have their hands full with Jarrett Stidham. I think this was McDaniel's quarterback of the future all along. And now he's the quarterback of the present.
Mitch, I wanted to ask you about the emergence of Jerick McKinnon in this offense. I mean, he's just been a TD machine the last, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, however long it's been.
Phenomenal. And one of those reasons they're 13-3 with the minus 5 giveaway takeaway, because of his emergence of being so efficient. And the big part in the red zone, big part on third down, why those numbers are way up, a lot of it's McKinnon. I've said that McKinnon, though, has 4 plays every time the Chiefs pass the ball. One is his protection and his route. 2, then, or that's 1-2. 3 would be the route he's supposed to run, 2-3. But then, Patrick's going to scramble. So now he's in that scramble mode as a receiver, and he's awesome at it. Get to that position where he can get into Patrick's vision and make a play. Think of the crazy play against Denver at Denver where Patrick throws the hand grenade to him, and he runs for a touchdown for 56 yards. But then the fourth part of his every play on a passing down is like, oh, Patrick's going to run. So now I've got to make a block in space like a kick or punt return and not get a block in the back. And McKinnon's awesome at it. He checks all 4 of those boxes every time. He has been such a asset to this team, it's been really understated. So it's an excellent question.
Mitch, with Sky Moore out, you know, one less weapon, but if Mecole Hardman's good to go today, how can the Chiefs get Justin Watson involved too? Because he had a big catch against Denver on Sunday.
He did, and they do need to get him involved. And I with Amir Smith-Marset being activated from the practice squad, that, I don't know, it may be another week with Mecole Hardman. Don't know. That's going to be, we're going to get down to the wire with that one. But if he can't go, then Amir Smith-Marset will be on there to help on special teams. But you're right about Watson. He's got to be a factor today. And he can be. The only thing that's become troublesome with Justin has been some drops. His catch to target ratio is not very good. And he needs to have a four target, four catch, 80 yard, get a 40 yard play, maybe a touchdown kind of day. So you nailed it, Dylan. That's a big piece of today, is having Justin Watson be viable.
And I did see that big catch that Watson didn't make, because I knew when I was at the game and he made that catch, and then of course it had to be reviewed, and I'm like, that's a catch. That's a catch. I'm like, Chiefs are going to get points, and then Harrison Butker misses the kick. But, you know, that's a big asset, because, I mean, Justin was brought to Kansas City for a reason, right, Mitch?
He was, and he's been a surprise, too. Now, he was more of a surprise early on. Now they're counting on him, but he's got to come through, and he's got to come through today. And Owazurike, the kid from Iowa State, blocked that field goal. I mean, he got a hand on it. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in play here. We got to be ready to play without Butker. Matthew Wright was elevated from Pittsburgh's practice squad. He's now, so you could have a situation, not saying this is the case, this is going to go down to the wire, but in both those cases will be Mecole Hardman and Harrison Butker. You got to be ready for Matthew Wright to be the kicker today. But one thing we haven't talked about is the Raiders' defense, and the Chiefs should attack these cats. It's about taking care of the ball and being efficient on every possession. That you can get to 35 to 38 points. Just think about how the 49ers won last week, 37-34. I think you're going to get a whole lot of Stidham and a whole lot of Raider offense, and the Chiefs are going to be prepared to get a whole lot of offense themselves to get up in that mid-30s, up near the 40 range to win this game.
Well, Mitch, this is a game that the Chiefs, you know, and I was listening to some stuff earlier this week out of Kansas City, and a lot of it comes down to, you know, this is the rivalry game, and this brings back, you know, granted, the Raiders aren't at the level they were back in the good old days when the Chiefs and the Raiders got together, and it was blood and guts and body parts left on the field. But this is a game that could resemble one of those good old-fashioned games where the winner takes all.
No question. And the NFL, and I've said this for the last several weeks with you guys, even though this may be a little weird what's going on with the playoffs with the AFC, one thing they did do correctly was get this Week 18 right, in the fact that they have all these games are division games, every one of them, all 16. And so teams that are out of it, here's the Raiders. They got beat last week. That eliminated them mathematically from the playoffs, and you think they'll tank it, and that's been a prevailing thought from shows and people and just opinions. I'm going to tell you, no. They started 2023 right now, and they would like nothing better than to win this game and to catapult themselves into an offseason with Stidham playing well and then showing everybody, hey, this is our guy and here's how we're moving forward. So this is going to have all the feels of those Raiders-Chiefs games, maybe of the 60s, because teams in a series, like the Raiders dominated the Chiefs in the 70s and in the 80s pretty much. Then Marty came in and dominated them. And then it was kind of back and forth. And then the Chiefs have pretty much had their way with them here with Andy Reid. But this was going to feel like that. I'm telling you, I'm geared up here that this is going to be a 60s, late 60s kind of Raiders-Chiefs game for the AFL title. That's the feel for this game. There's just it's so many factors that have gone into this week to lead to this. It's just get ready, boys. And I'm going to need a Dylan siren here, or I can't even carry on with the rest of my day. We got a shot now. We got a chance, Tim. We got a chance, buddy. I'm just telling you, there's just a lot going on. The electricity and the tension is the playoffs feel like they're starting today. That's what it feels like.
Well, Mitch, go out, have fun today. Have a great call.
Yeah.
Go Chiefs.
Okay. Go Chiefs. Here we go, boys. Let's get her done.
Thanks, right, Mitch.
You are. Thanks, Mitch.
All right, boys.
That's Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, as he joins us on game day from Las Vegas. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabella Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS 424226. Big thanks to Mitch. Also, before we go, we do need to select our Main Street Athletes of the Week, our first ones for 2023. And Dylan, do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, I'm gonna throw four names out, and this was a tough week for me to select. Jalen King had a big week for the Emporia High boys basketball team. 20 on Tuesday night, 14 last night. Braxton Higgins won another meet at Wichita North yesterday. Emil Bennett with a career high 13 points last night. I like the play of Cooper Reck. He's had double figures the last couple of games. He's actually been playing well, at least the last five games for Emporia High. And, of course, River Peters had a tied a career high with 23 last night. But I'm going to go with Jalen King from the Emporia High boys basketball team. When you average 17 points in 1 week and two wins for the Spartan boys, and Jalen King has just been this really good addition for Emporia High, the cousin of Fred Jackson. But Jalen King is our Main Street Emporia High Athlete of the Week.
And do we have any suggestions for our area athletes?
I really want to go to Madison for this one, because I know Bill Neinstedt has sent me his scorebooks the last couple of nights, and they're 8-0 on the season after a win last night over Burlingame. I think I'm going to go with – let me see how much he had last night. Jalen Weekly from the Madison girls basketball team. I believe she's a sophomore, and – gotta go with her. She's really had some big games for the Lady Bulldogs, and 8-0 on the season for Bill Neinstedt.
So great start for Coach Neinstedt. So congratulations to Jalen King of the Emporia High boys basketball team, and then Jalen Weekly of the Madison girls basketball team. They are our Main Street Athletes of the Week. Congratulations to both of them. Again, coming up today here on KVOE, we have KU basketballs. The Jayhawks are in Morgantown to take on West Virginia. That's a 5 o'clock tip-off over on Country 101.7 FM. Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Raiders. 2 o'clock pregame, 3:30 kickoff. And on Mix 104.9 this afternoon, Emporia State hosting Central Missouri. Encourage fans to come on out and cheer on the Emporia State Lady Hornets and Hornets as they take on the Jennies. The Jennies are undefeated on the season, ranked number 7. Great opportunity for the Lady Hornets to get back on the winning track and pull off the upset. And then that'll be followed by what should be another exciting men's basketball game as the Emporia State men, 10-3 on the season. And they'll tip off at 3:30, and we'll have both those games on Mix 104.9. And that's going to wrap it up for us on this Saturday morning. For Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, for Coach Carolyn Dorsey and Coach Lee Bolin, and for Mitch Holtis, this has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245.